bring them, which Amen. Means go with them as they're going, come with them. Amen. Amen. So may God bless you so much for making that choice to bring them with you. I'm going to read the verse here and we will pray and begin our service this morning. You know what the irony of today is, that the members who live in Wyoming didn't show, the guys from Texas showed. Praise the Lord. God bless you so much. We are blessed to have you guys all the way from Texas. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians, it's on the board here, chapter number 12, verse 15. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12, verse number 15. The Bible says, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? He says, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you yet again with thanksgiving in our hearts. We give you thanks for your word. For in your word, there is power. In your word, there is truth. In your word, there is healing. In your word, there is restoration. In your word, there is prosperity, uplifting. And Jehovah Lord Almighty, in your word, there is the very pillar upon which we belong and upon which the very hinge upon which we stand, my Father. Thank you so much for your word. I pray today that Lord Jesus Christ, even as I share your word, that your Holy Spirit will take away everything that is mine and replace it with what you want to say. How I pray that every word that comes from my mouth this morning will be fired up by your Spirit, my Father God. The Lord Jesus Christ, every thought that comes to this morning, my Father, that it will come direct from your kitchen, O God, and that every word will be as raw as you would, as you would have said it. And so, Father, I pray today that our ears will be open, our hearts will be open, Jehovah, to hear your voice. We love you, Jesus, and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Every once a year, one Sunday a year, I take time to speak to us about giving. And my goal is not to make you guilty or to guilt you into giving into the kingdom of God, but rather to enlighten you of the value of giving in the kingdom of God. You see, we have been on this series about blessedness. And one thing that I know is that there is no separation or a clear separation that there exists between giving and being blessed. So we've been talking throughout the week about blessedness. The first week we talked about what a blessing is and what a blessing life looks like, what a blessed life looks like. This past week, we talked about the kingdom of God as a different entity, as a different dimension, by which whenever we are saying or we are calling ourselves blessed, it is not what the world sees as blessed. And that there is a dimension that is different, that is separate from this dimension. And I remember we talked about the presence of God and the power in the presence of God, and the awareness that we cannot do anything or be effective in the kingdom of God without the presence of God. I remember we talked about the Garden of Eden and the fact that if we get away from the presence of God, we malfunction and that we die, that everything that is born outside of the Garden of Eden malfunction and it die. And the first, we talked about Cain, the first person that was born outside of the presence of God. We talked about how he malfunctioned and killed his brother. Because that's when destruction comes, when we are born outside of the kingdom. Now remember, we talked about every idea that we have has to be born in the very presence of God. Otherwise, it will be futile. And we say that the presence of God is that blessing that God has given to us. Now this Sunday, we are going to talk about the blessings of God.
But again, on a very, very different view, and that is in the place of giving. Because we say we can never separate our blessedness from our ability to give, our ability to give unto the King, to give unto God. We can never separate our blessedness from our ability or our capacity to give. Because you see, the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 20, verse number 35, that it's more, let's read that, Acts chapter number 20, verse number 35, if you get there quicker than me, you can read it, but I'm trying to get there faster. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 35, I believe they quote Jesus, and he says,
"In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, you must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'"
Yes, Jesus Christ says that it's more blessed. Thank you so much, Sister Tasha. That Jesus Christ says that it's more blessed for you to give than to receive. That the blessedness comes from a place of us being able to release. Because every time that we release, every time that we give, we open a place for us to receive. And that is what we call in our dimension blessed. Now, God does not bless you with anything that is not an answer to a prayer. Praise the Lord. Now, that means that your blessedness is an answer to a need. And sometimes, not necessarily your need. Praise the Lord. So the Lord will bless you, but then the blessing is coming your way because there has been a prayer, because somebody has asked, because somebody has been seeking the face of God. And God decides, because you see, out here on this earth, we are the eyes and the ears and the hands of the Lord. And the Lord blesses us so that we can be able to be a blessing to somebody else. But the only reason that you have what you have is because there is somebody in need of what you have. Now that messes you up. Because you see, many times when we are blessed, there is this, our self and our nature that says, you know what, the Lord has blessed me and this is going to be about me. The fact is, God never blesses you for you. Praise the Lord. Paul says, I would very much gladly, he says, I would gladly spend and be spent for the sake of you, for the sake of your souls. Now, this was the pastor for that church. We live in a generation where, as a pastor, I want to stand on this pulpit and ask you to give so that I am rich. To ask you to give so that, you know what, I live a stable life. But Paul says, I lived amongst you, and I want to be the person that would much gladly spend and be spent for you. Paul had discovered that if there was a blessedness that would come his way, it would only come from a place of him giving.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That blessed is not when I receive, blessed is when I release. As long as your hand is still full, there is nothing that the Lord is going to put in those hands. You're missing it. You see, as long as I am occupied with something, as long as I have stuff in my hand, there is no place for more. The only way to create space for more is if I learn to release. And I want to apologize, because I think every time we talk about giving, our minds just turn to money. And we start thinking about money. We start thinking about how I have not been able to give, maybe financially, how I have not been able to give my tithe and offering. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about blessedness. And that comes, Paul says, I will give. Now that is when he gives from his finances, when he gives from, and then he says, but then not only will I stop at giving, I will give, I will expend myself. I will invest myself into your lives. I will pour myself out to you. That is why somewhere else he says,
I am being offered as a drink offering. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Paul says, I am pretty much melting in your midst because I'm giving away everything that I am and everything that I have. Your blessedness will come the moment that you begin to understand that what you have because somebody somewhere can use it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He says, I will very gladly, I will happily. See, Jesus, Bible says that he loves a cheerful giver. So as you're giving yourself, as you're pouring yourself out to people, as you're investing yourself in people, you're investing yourself with this perspective, I am giving myself and I'm going to do it happily. Let me tell you something that kills your blessing consistently is when you mumble and grumble. That the moment that you start giving yourself and you start giving your money and you start whining about it is when you miss out your blessing. Because the blessedness will come when you do that gladly, when you do that joyfully. When you say, you know what, I know that they're not going to give me back. They're not going to return this favor, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to go to that church, and I'm going to watch that church every Sunday because I know Pastor Dan is not going to say thank you, but I'm going to do it anyways. You know, I'm going to go out and in the middle of the night in the snow and go to this person that is stuck, and I know that they're not even going to appreciate it, but I'm going to do it anyways. Paul says, I will much gladly give and be given. Out, I'll spend and be spent for the sake of the kingdom. Let's go to the next verses. Can I hit the next slide, sir?
I feel that comes.
The next one. Paul says, let me see where we are going to go next. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 17, 16 and 17. The Bible says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. Paul says that when he was in Thessalonica, the people at Philippi, the church at Philippi, sent some gifts to him. And he says, listen, I am not asking you to give me the gifts because I have need. Remember that when Paul showed up at Corinth, the Bible says that he continues with his business of tent making. He continues with business doing work with his hands to provide for himself. In fact, Paul brags somewhere in the scriptures and he says, I have not taken anything from you. I have not taken anything from you. In any case, he says, I am the one that is giving and being given. So Paul says, when I was in Thessalonica, you guys sent some gifts to me. And he says, I am not requiring, you know, as a church, as Rema, we are not asking for you guys to give your monies to this church because we have need. And I say that categorically. Guys, listen, I have known a God who is faithful to provide consistently, continuously. Whenever we come here and we say, you know what, it's time for offering, we are not asking because we are not able to pay rent. In fact, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ had need, they hadn't paid tax. And the Bible says his disciple goes to him and he says, we don't have tax money. And he says to Peter, take this hook and go in the lake and get some tax money. The Bible says that he provided exactly what they needed. God can provide exactly what we need. He has provided exactly what we need. Now, the reason that we do this lesson once a year is because we want it to be credited to your account. Because when you give, it is when you receive. It is not when we receive.
Amen.
It is not when we meet our needs. It is when you are blessed, when God opens doors for you, when God opens those avenues in your life that nothing else would have ever been open. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Whatever you sow, you will reap.
you sow in money, guess what you're going to reap? In money. He says every seed that you throw down, you give it time, there is going to be a harvest. Which means invest yourself. Like Paul said, I am going to invest and then be invested in this because I know that the credit comes back to me.
Amen.
I've been rambling about for a while. Let us look at this man of God that decides to give. A giving, one decision to give that changes the entire world. One decision to give that alters the destiny of humanity forever. One decision to give that changes the way things are viewed. In fact, the Bible puts it this way, that because of that decision, every human family will be blessed. Let's go to the book of Genesis. The book of the beginnings. Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, it's on the board here in case you don't have a Bible. Now, it came about after these things that God tasted Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Now, I want us to underline that statement. To underline that statement in your Bible, if you would. He says, take now your son, comma, your only son whom you love. I'll read that again. He says, take now your son, your only son whom you love. He says, Isaac. And go to the land of Moriah and over him. There, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to these young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the Lord will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, Father, and he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, and where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the Lord and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Now, the line that I told you to underline in your Bible is very, very familiar. It is very familiar because there is another part in the Bible, another picture in the Bible, where a father chooses to give a son, his only son. The Bible says, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only son, is a son that he loved. Bible says that God gets a hold of this man. He's a young man. His name is Abram. And he says to him, you know, Abram, you're going to move from your city, and I'm going to send you somewhere where I will go. The Bible says that Abram at that time, he decides to obey God, and he gives of himself. He starts by giving, number one, himself to God. So if we are going to invest ourselves or to offer ourselves like we are talking about, the first step is that we are going to offer ourselves. We are going to give ourselves. That is in the book of Genesis chapter 12 verse 1. He says Abraham obeyed God. He said when the Lord told him, Abraham stand up and move, Abraham said, I'm going to go. Now remember, this is a person whose parents worship the moon, which means they did not know anything about this God. The moment that God is talking to Abraham, nobody has been talking to God and nobody knows this God. But Abraham says, Lord, because you spoke, I will offer myself, I'll give myself into the kingdom. So he gives himself to God. The Bible says God tells him, you know what, I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make you a blessing, and I will not curse you. And anybody that blesses you, I will bless them. And everybody that curses you, I will curse them. He says to him, I'll make you a father of very many nations. And we know the story, we've talked about it here before. The Bible says that he starts waiting for this promise that God has given him of children in a family. And he waits for many years, and the Lord does not show up. He comes along the way and moves away to Egypt, where the Lord has not asked him, has his shenanigans in Egypt. But then he still comes back yet. And the Lord then, he comes back with his African girl. And the wife suggests to him, you know what, you impregnate this girl so that we can get the baby God spoke about. And he gets a baby from this woman called Hagar. And then the Lord says to him, no, that's still not the child I talked about. I am going to bless you through your wife Sarah. And a few weeks ago, we talked about alignment, that if God is going to answer our prayers, then everything has to be in alignment. And we talked about the fact that Sarah was not yet believing, and because of the misalignment, the blessing would never come in time. And so God had to bring Sarah to a place of believing before they blessed them with a child. And eventually, they blessed him with a child called Isaac. Now, this is a child that was waited for 25 years. Which means that the first time that Abraham prays for a son, if a lady in the community gave birth to a child, the child would be 25 years. It would be a grown man by the time that God is answering Abraham's prayer. So he answers and gives him a child over 25 years later. And then now here is the child that Abraham has from God. And then God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to offer this child to me as a sacrifice. You know, the night that the Lord says something like that to me, that is the morning that I pack my stuff and leave. This is a child you've waited for, a child you've longed for, a child that has finally come, and a child that you've fallen in love with. The Bible calls him a lad, which means he was in his teenage years. You know, this is a time when you know somebody's personality. It is not a baby that you barely know. It is somebody that you've grown, that answers questions and asks many questions and bugs you and gives you trouble, but yet you're so much in love with them. This is your life. Remember, somewhere along the way, as Isaac becomes a teenager, the Bible says that the other family starts tormenting him. And the Lord says to Abraham, you know what, let this family go. So they have asked this family to go. And then now we are remaining with this only child. Our only child, our only hope, our everything. And then the Lord comes and he tells Abraham, I want you to give me this son, this only begotten son, as an offering. Bible says that Abraham starts up in the morning and he tells two of the other guys, he tells them, guys, let's go. If we remember well the time that Jesus Christ is being brought, you know, the other son that has been given, the other son that has been given, the Bible says that when he's going into the place of crucifixion, there is two men with him. Abraham takes together with this man, he takes two men together with his son. And the Bible says that they start loading up and climbing up the mountain because the Lord has told him, when you get there, I'll show you where we are going. And I love that about God. Because you see, God never gives us the whole picture. Abraham says, where do I offer this sacrifice you're talking about? The Lord says, when we get there, you will know it. Sometimes in our lives, when we are seeking answers, when we are praying, when we are trying to find the face of God, God will not completely give us the whole picture because he knows that our safety depends on the limitation of the information that he gives us. The Bible says that the secret of the Lord belongs to them that he loves. I'm so glad that he only reveals to us just as far as our headlights can beam out in the dark. So they keep climbing him, and they keep climbing, and then they get to this place. The Bible says that they, after 3 days, they finally get to this person, this place, and Abraham wakes up very early in the morning and looks up the hill and he's like, oh, I know that place. That is where the Lord wants me to go. But then he tells the other two guys, he tells them, you guys are going to stay here. Remember when Jesus Christ is being crucified, if you want to do the parallel, when he's being crucified, the Bible says that before that Jesus Christ goes ahead of them, and by the time they come, he's already gone. These two men never get to the place in the same time as Jesus Christ gets there. Isaac, Abraham tells this man, you guys will stay here as I have to go with him, Father, to a place of worship. And he says to this man, we will come back to you. Is Abraham lying? Possibly. I mean, if you had told those two young men, I'm going to be killing my son, they would call 911. Of them days. I don't know what that would be, but they'll be like, this man is crazy. He says to them, we're going to go worship and then we'll come back to you. So he leaves this young man and he goes on with his son. And then the son starts the most interesting conversation. He says, Father, the firewood I see. and the fire I see too. The knife, we got it. But where is the lamb? What are we going to offer? The Bible says, then Abraham says to his sons, the Lord will provide it. The Lord, when we get up there, the Lord will. But then he gets on top of the mountain and the son is watching. I'm picturing Isaac kicking back here, watching the dad make the altar, which is a process because you see they had to make the altar with rocks. So the dad is pulling on the rocks and pulling up and pulling on the rocks and pulling up, and Isaac is just watching him, or maybe even helping him. Then he says, he sets the firewood on top of the rocks and Isaac is watching. And then he says, son, turn around and I'll tie you up. And I'm going to put you on this fire. And I take off running. But the Bible says that Isaac is put on that altar. Which means that is, if he's a teenager, man, it don't matter if it's your dad, and it don't matter how much he's telling you about his God. He's going to kill you. He's going to put you run. But the Bible is silent about that place. Isaac offered it. He accepts this part of the deal. The Bible says that he's a lad. This is a growing man. And this is a lad. This is a teenager. There has to be a struggle. But there is nothing like that in the Bible. The son accepts to be offered on this altar. Bible says that he ties him up and he puts him on the altar and he takes his knife. He's just about to cut the throat of this man, young man, to offer him as a sacrifice, and the angel starts speaking. Now let me make it your blessing today. I want us to go to the book of Genesis chapter number 12. But before that, let's go back a little bit in Corinthians I believe there's a verse before this.
What? Just tell me what it is.
If you just go back on the slides. Yeah, I want us to go in your Bible to Genesis 12, but there's a scripture I want us to read here. This one. The Bible says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, Paul is talking about, you know, keep the back one a little bit, I believe. Okay, maybe not. But chapter number 8, verse 5, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's talking to them about the church in Macedonia. And he says, the people in Macedonia have given themselves. Let me skip that so I can read the whole thing, so we're not speculating. Amen. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse 8.
Chapter 8, verse 5.
We'll just go back.
Look at that. There's an awake church in here. Chapter number 8, verse 5. I'm going to read from verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor to participation, support of the saints, and this not as we expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. He says the church, Paul is speaking about to the church at Corinth, about the church in Macedonia. Remember, this is a plea that Paul is giving to the church at Corinth, asking them to be a church that is giving, a church that is willing to give. And he says to them, listen, the church at Macedonia, they have been faithful, man. He says they are going through a tumultuous time. They are going through some trouble. Some things, they are going through some hard things. Now, number one, they are going through hard things. Number two, they are very, very poor church. Now remember, the church in Macedonia is born. Remember in the book of Acts, I believe chapter number 15, when Paul is trying to go to, I believe he was trying to go to Ephesus or somewhere, and the Holy Spirit of God told him, no, don't go there. And then he goes on ahead and he listens to the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't go in Athens. He was going to go to Athens. And the Holy Spirit tells him, no, don't go to Athens. He forbids them from going to Troas. Sorry, it's Troas. They are going to Troas. He forbids them from going to Troas. He tells them, go. And then in the night, Paul dreams that there is a man of Macedonia that is beckoning them, that is calling them. And so Paul says, okay, well, we'll go to Macedonia then. I think that's where the Lord wants us to go. So they go into Macedonia. But when they get in Macedonia, they get arrested. For you see, there's this woman that is doing all these weird things, and then they get arrested and they're put in jail. Remember the story of Paul, and he's in jail, and then they start singing, and then there's this soldier that, you know, in this jail in Macedonia, they were tied, you know, because they were Christians, they were tied with the soldier. So they were put in the dungeon, and then they were tied. You know, the way they would arrest you is they would put you together with a soldier. So pretty much the soldier is a prisoner as well. And these soldiers would whip you, and they would beat you up, but they would stay there with you. In the night, as they are singing, the jail prison cells open up, and you know that it's all this amazing in Acts chapter 16, where they are all being set free, and the soldier, this man in Macedonia, turns out he's the man that was beckoning on them. The soldier that was beating on Paul is the same one that is standing there, and the Bible says that when they are shaking because he wants to kill himself, he takes his sword and he's going to kill himself, and then Paul says, no, we did not run, we are still here, and the man says, I guess, you know what, I'm gonna take that Jesus. So the church is born in Macedonia. But then you see this persecution, serious persecution in the church in Macedonia. But the Bible says that the first thing that the people in the church in Macedonia do is that they start supporting the ministry of Paul. They start giving to Paul and giving to Paul in spite of their challenges financially, in spite of their challenges physically and mentally, they choose to give. But Paul says something very beautiful here that I had mentioned earlier, but I just wanted us to go back to it. He says, and this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Because the first place that you have to begin, if you're going to be successful in the ministry, if you're going to be able to be blessed as a giver, if you're going to receive the grace to be blessed because you give, is to give yourself. Genesis chapter number 12 is where we were going to go before I went on that tangent. Genesis chapter number 12.
Good background information.
If you get there, you say amen.
Amen.
There. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. God separates Abram from his family, from his countrymen, from everything that is normal, from everything that is familiar, from everything that he understands, that he knows to be true. God separates him. And then he says, and I will make you a great nation. That's the promise of God. And I will bless you and make your name great. And so shall you be a blessing. Now this is the blessing that God gives. He says, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. Okay? Continue. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Let us fight together. I know you guys are wondering where I went. God says to Abraham, I will bless you. And then he doesn't stop there. He says, I'll make your nation. You know, and the nation of Israel has been born. But then God takes it further. He says, all the families of the world will be blessed through you. The Bible says, where we read earlier, that after God gives Abraham a son, he says to Abraham, Abraham, will you give me your son, your only begotten son? And Abraham chooses to go up the mountain with his only begotten son to give to God. Now, this is how every family of the world is blessed through Abraham. Because Abraham chooses to give his only begotten son. Because Abraham says, I know this is all I have, but I'm going to give it to you. God decides to give his only begotten son. Don't miss this. Because Abraham, a man, says, I'm going to give you my son. He says, it's okay to give a son that you love the most if you really care about the deal. It's okay to give. God realizes and says, I'm going to give man my son. Had Abraham said no to God, there would be no blessing in the human generation. Had Abraham withheld his son, there would be no son to be given to the world. Jesus is here because Abraham chose to obey the blessing that God is telling Abraham. Every family of the world will be blessed through you. It's because of this one test that God, in fact, the Bible begins to say, God then tested Abraham. God tested, put the faith of the entire human race upon this one test that he gives to this man called Abraham. He says, give me your son. And if we can be able to release ourselves and say we are going to give into the kingdom, then because of that, we will be blessed.
Amen.
It will only abound to our credit if we can be able to give. That is why in Acts that we read earlier, Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive, because the only way that man can be blessed is when man decides to say, I can give you my son. How I pray that this sparks something in your spirit, that it brings you to a level where you say, I'm going to open my heart, I'm going to open my pocket, I'm going to open my life to give to the kingdom of God, to give to my neighbor, to give to the strangers, to give and give and give, because I know that my blessedness only comes when I am able to release. When I'm able to say, Lord, I cooperate with you, I'm going to give. Because you see, giving is not so that we make pastors rich. Giving is not so that we make churches flourish. It is not so we pay the bills. We actually use that money to pay the bills. But trust me, God is able to pay the bills. When I was in college, I remember I had an arrears in my fees. And I go to the Lord and I tell him, Daddy, I do not have any money and I have nowhere to find money. Do you know what he did? He went to the office, the administration office. He hacked into the computer system and paid fee. I show up and they tell me, you are clear. And I go, I didn't pay. And they say, no, we're checking all the computers and you are clear. Your fee is already paid. God is able to move mountains for your sake. He's able to provide in supernatural ways. So we are not dependent on what we can receive. We only receive that you may receive.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we go around whining about, you know, pastors that preach about prosperity. Pastors that preach about giving, and sometimes when I was young, honestly, I didn't go to church because all they preached was giving. I missed this particular part, this particular revelation that they want God. You know, they might have bad motives. I remember people come to Paul in the book, I think it's Corinthians again, and they say to him, do you know that some people have started churches around here? They're preaching, and then Paul says, oh, okay. Says, if they're preaching Jesus, then I don't have a problem with them. If their motive is wrong, the judgment is on them. But if they're preaching Jesus, people will be praised and they'll be blessed through that. So listen to me, child of God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, this is so that it's credited to your account. This is so that it will be credited to your account. When God is asking Abraham back then, give his son, Abraham must have thought, what a mean God. I just got this son. It's been barely 15 years since I got him. Well, why would he be asking about it? But God is like, Abraham, I made you a promise that I will bless every man. And if you can be able to release your son, then I can be able to release my son. Listen to me, child of God. If you can be able to release the little that you have, then God can release something bigger. What Abraham did was release a son, which was just a seed. And what Jesus Christ, what God gave back to the world because of his decision on that day, is the son that has saved and redeemed every human family that chooses Christ.
Amen.
So today you might be thinking, man, I am small. I don't have anything to give. I'm going to challenge you that you have a lot to give. The first thing that God told you is have dominion. Which means that there is a place of domain that is marked by your name. That there is a place of authority that only you can run. There's a place that only your fingerprint can unlock. That is why it's different from any other person's fingerprint. There is a place that only you can reach, only you can unlock, and you have the key. You are the key. Find the place of your dominion, find the place of your authority, and invest yourself in that. It might not necessarily be in the ministry, but it could be just going out there and talking to the homeless people. You might be like, why do I find myself just talking to people? When I was growing up, I remember in my country we have many, many street kids, and I remember I would accumulate my lunch money and just buy them food and then hang out with them and talk to them about Jesus. I never knew that was my area where the Lord was calling me. Just the other day I was in the house and I woke up in the middle of the night. Like, oh my goodness, I started my ministry to help me grow. Well, why do I find myself working with kids that are struggling, working with families that are struggling with drugs and alcohol, working with... I'm like, why? Then it just hit me, bro. It's been an area of dominion. Invest yourself in what the Lord is revealing to you. If you haven't found your purpose yet, say, Lord, show me it. And the moment He shows you, start giving. However little you have, the Bible says the church in Macedonia, they were poor and they were struggling, yet they gave. There was joy that was in their hearts as they gave. Give yourself into something. Invest yourself into something. Listen, the Bible says that where your money is, there your heart will be also. Invest yourself in the place where you want your heart to be. Invest yourself in a place where you want your spirit, your soul, your mind to be. That place that bugs you the most, invest yourself in that. Abraham's son must have been the place of his most concern. If you're a dad, you understand that. That's the place where you think about it, you worry about it, you don't know how they're going to turn out to be. You know, and that is where Abraham's concern was. That's where the Lord says, invest, pour yourself out to me in that area of your most concern. As Jesus Christ Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Listen to me. Your blessing is dependent on your ability to release. See, the Bible doesn't say because the church in Macedonia gave, they were the richest church in the world. Paul says they are still poor, but they have riches, they have joy, their hearts are joyful. You see, they were at peace even in the giving. And that is the blessing part. Stand up. If you fail to take away anything from this church today, I would that you just take home one thing. Remember that the trigger for God sending His only begotten Son was because of one man's decision to give. That when one man chose to say, I can give, the Lord blessed the whole earth because of that decision. Today, many things are dependent on your decision to say, I'm a give. Many things, blessings for generations to come, are dependent on your decision to step out and step into the offering basket and say, I'm ready to be used. It's dependent on you going into your wallet and taking out money and saying, I'm going to send this to this family that is suffering out in Florida right now. Sometimes you can just say, you know what? I'm going to give this in the tithe offering today at Rema, at the church. See, because you guys have been faithful, yesterday 6 girls gave their lives to Christ. 6 girls just yesterday. So you might be like, why do we have to do that? And I say to you, it's because those 6 girls would probably have never had the gospel